Welcome to the Parkway Life Church podcast. Thank you for taking time to let God's Word impact you. You're always encouraged to know God is touching lives through this ministry. Please visit parkwaylife.com to let us know. You can also hit the Giving tab to sow into the ministry that you are experiencing. Now, prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Thank you so much. Great to have all of you here today. We have a packed house. And isn't that exciting? Exciting. I just want to say, take that, Harvey. Take that, Harvey. We're glad that all of you are here today. And I know you were blessed by the worship today. Can I just tell you, I know it's full. And so don't get to thinking, man, it's full, so I don't need to go to church today. We'll get more chairs. We'll add another service. We'll do whatever it takes. We want people to find Christ in this house, and so we're excited about that. So we're in a series called This Is Us, kind of talking to you about our church, who we are. Last week was Know Jesus, and we take Exodus chapter 6, like Pastor Brandon was talking about. We take Exodus chapter 6, the four promises that he gave the children of Israel, and we bring it into the New Testament and put it in vernacular that makes it relative where we're at, and that is we break that into four statements. And when you come to this church, we want you to connect four dots in your life, four dots in your life. And last week, we talked about that first dot we want you to connect, and that is know Jesus. The second dot that we want you to connect is to find freedom. The third dot is to discover purpose. And the fourth one is to make a difference. And today we're going to be talking about finding freedom or find freedom. In the 1960s, there was this band called the Youngbloods. Now, I'm going to check you out. Anybody know who that was? I see some of them folks in a certain age bracket that know, about three of y'all know. But you know what? You in here today, you may not know who the Youngbloods are, but you know their song, okay? So what we're going to do, Scott Popek, eat your heart out. I'm fixing to lead the biggest choir we've had right here, okay? So I'm going to lead a choir song of their song, one of their most popular songs, and it bleeds into my message and kind of goes to the message. So here we go. I'm going to read the words, or I may just start singing. You never know. Now all the guests are going, go ahead. And the church, the people around here go, no. Okay, here we go. It says this. It says, come on, people now. Y'all are out of control. First service, we had to just, get them on. Y'all just went all on it. All right, stand up. All right, we're going to do it all together. You ready? All together. You ready? Loud, proud, big. Okay, you ready? Y'all know that song, don't you? Here we go. You ready? Ready? Go. That's awesome. Give yourself a high five around here. That's cool. Cool stuff. So while you're still standing, I want to speak to you. Y'all did good, man. I'm like really impressed. That was really good. So today is Find Freedom, and I'm going to name this message, This Is Our Tribe. This Is Our Tribe. I don't want you to turn around to somebody. That's why we sang the song. I want you to turn around and look at them and say, you're in my tribe. You're in my tribe. Now, let's do it one more time and tell somebody besides your spouse. All right, say, you're in my tribe. You're in my tribe. God bless you. You may be seated. Parkway Life is in the business of getting chains off of slavery, off of people. We're in the business of that. Jesus has called his church to be the hands and feet of Jesus. and help people get free of the junk that has ensnared their life, has chained their life up. This church's job is to get those chains off. In other words, the children of Israel got out of Egypt, but now it's the church's job to become a part of the process, the hands and feet of Christ, to help get Egypt out of the people. So you can have salvation and still not have freedom. You can be saved and going to heaven and still have all junk attached to you from the Egypt that you were a part of. The church has been real good at introducing people to know Jesus, but they haven't done real well in connecting dot two, and that is helping people find deliverance. And the church of the living God is called to exactly that in our lives. When I was praying about this message today, and as I was talking to the Lord, I saw this picture, and I saw this picture of bondage, and I want to describe it, what I saw this way. I saw a body of stagnant water, and I know that doesn't seem to go together, but stay with me. I saw a body of stagnant water. A body of water, a stagnant water is a body of water that has no outlet to it. It has bacteria in it. It is contaminated. If you drink from it, you're drinking bacteria that will make you sick in your body. It's this unending cycle of isolation and loneliness within this pool of stagnation, this isolation. There is no outflow, and so everything is cooped up inside of this contaminated, isolated water, and I'm going to call it the disease of isolation. That's what I saw as I began to study in this, and I began to try to wrap my spirit and all around that, and I find out that when we are going through hard times, when we're doing great and things are going great, we want people around us, especially some personalities. You're kind of driven to want people around you. And then all of a sudden, we go through difficult times. We go through hard times. And all of a sudden, what do? We start isolating ourselves. We become stagnant. We become lonely. And we find ourselves not even wanting to tell our emotions and feel the tears run down our face again. And so we pull away and we get into the situation gets darker and darker and darker in this stagnant place that you've isolated yourself to. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 1 describes it incredibly well. And it says this: one who has isolated himself seeks his own desire. Hear that stagnation? He rejects all sound judgment. You ever been around people that isolate themselves? They don't want to hear anything positive. They don't want to hear any words of encouragement. They don't want to hear anybody trying to help them get out of the pool that they're in. And so they run from that because they've isolated themselves. But God has created you and I for community. We need one another. He created us so that others around us could give us words of encouragement and words that lift us. And this is one of the many, many reasons that you and I need the church. We don't need to isolate ourselves away from church. Now, today there's Facebook Live, and there's literally people all around the nation that are watching us on Facebook Live. I talked to somebody the other day, and They said, you know, we don't go to your church, but we watch. Well, they actually said they listen to our podcast every single week. I love that. But I'm not discounting any of those things. And some people that's what they can do right now, and or maybe certain reasons, work or whatever. But I'm going to tell you something: we need one another in the church. I need you. I've got to have you. I've got to have the corporate body of the church, because we pull together and we need community, and God created us for that. And that's one of the reasons, many of the reasons that He created the church. God created this provision called the church to help you and I find freedom. I want to say it this way: I need you and you need me. And sometimes when if I can put in words what bondage and isolation begins to sound like. It kind of sounds like these kind of words. Listen to this. I don't tell anybody what's going on because they won't understand anyway. Isolation, stagnation, drinking from bacteria but expecting to get well. That's what that sounds like. Or this. I don't know if I don't really want to go to church because people are going to judge me. Or same as like, I don't need others. Folks, I'm going to tell you, those are all lies that the enemy will whisper in your ear to try to keep you isolated and lonely. But I got good news for you. Listen to this, Psalm 68 and verse 6. Check this scripture out. This scripture fires me up. Psalm 68 6 says this. He's made provision. Listen to this. God places the lonely in families. That's the church of the living God. He said, I placed you in family. And listen to this. We're talking about finding freedom in community. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. Folks, there's joy and there's freedom inside the beauty of community and doing life with one another. But listen to this, but he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. That's the opposite. That's that stagnation. That's that bacteria. That's that there's no outflow. And we need one another. When you feel that desire to isolate yourself and pull yourself in, that is all the more reason that you need to push yourself a little harder to get out and make friendships and connect with the body of Christ, because we need one another. There is this scripture in Psalms chapter 133 that for the next little bit I'm going to try to unpack to you and open up to you in ways that really I personally have never seen until I started studying what I'm going to give to you today. Psalms chapter 133 starts off, and the opening word of the psalm is this. It is, behold. Now, if I'm up here and I say, behold, and I'm about to say something after it, it's kind of one of those statements to get everybody to go, listen. It's kind of one of those statements to go, hey, what I'm about to say is really important, so tag in, log on. Log in, make sure that you're, it means examine what I'm about to say very carefully. And so he starts off the psalm and he says, behold. And then he says this, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Now, he's not talking about blood brothers necessarily. He's talking about the church. He's talking about doing life in community. Behold, listen up, wake up. You need to hear this. How good and pleasant it is when brothers, this is why there's brothers and sisters in the house of God. When brothers dwell together in unity. The scriptures know nothing of solitary Christianity. That's not in the book. When we are born again, we are born into the fellowship of family. We are family. You're born again. You're out of that isolation. You're out of that stagnant water. You're out of that loneliness, and you're born into community. But I notice something happens, and I can feel it happen at times in my own life. And so I know it must happen in all of us. And I've watched it through the years that somehow our sinful nature and desires are always pulling us to try to get us out of community. And it's like a tug of war, and it's pulling us, trying to get, because that sinful nature knows if I can isolate them, if I can get them, I'll stagnate them, I'll get bacteria in that. But there's something in our born-again spirit that we want to do community together. And so we take that step to try to make connections and relationships. And then the other side of us is pulling. And so there is this warring going on. One side of us wants to connect. One of us wants to do life together. And the other side is pulling and constantly. And I want to be a part of this community. But man, there's something, that, you know, and it's this. It's this pull back and forth, this warring that's going on. And David in the Bible defines community as a family.
are brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to make a statement here to you, and man, I want you to remember this because you need this when you walk through the valley or when you walk through that tough time. Listen to this. No Christian is an only child. There's no only child in Christianity. When you are born again, you're born into a family. There's not an only child. You're not isolated. When you have a trouble, you don't have anybody to go to. You have struggle. My mom and my mom is an only child. She was the only child born into their family, and so now she's going through issues with her mother and as far as health and all this stuff. And sometimes she feels like she's trying to do all this by herself. But I got to tell you, when it comes to the family of God, you're not an only child. There is no loneliness. There's not. But what do we face most in life? We feel those tugs, and it's pulling us into loneliness and isolation because the devil knows if he can get you isolated and feel lonely, you're disattached from the church, and you're not going to feel the strength that's going to help you find freedom. Does that make sense to anybody? Give the Lord a hand clap. Give the Lord a hand clap on that. In community, we work out what God is working inside of us. Even Jesus chose 12 disciples to do life with. And you know, they had like, he picked some crazy ones. There's like Simon Peter. He's like, you know, cutting people's ears off and junk. I mean, he's like, gets all excited and crazy and swings a sword and cuts a dude's ear off. It's Simon Peter that'll be the first up and jump, and he'll have an argument with you in a heartbeat. There's this other guy named Thomas. Oh, I know we call him Doubting Thomas, but, you know, that wasn't his whole persona, but, you know, we kind of put that on him, but he had a little doubting issue, but Jesus worked it out in community. We're doing life together. And so you know what he does? He says, you know what, Thomas? I understand where you're at. We can do this. Let's work this out together. Come here, Thomas. I want you to touch the nail scar in my hands. Feel my feet where the nails. I know you're struggling with this issue right now, but community, we can work this out. You're not lonely. I don't want you to feel lonely and isolated, Thomas, with your doubt. I want you to come on in and feel the strength of the church of the living God. Simon Peter, I know you're a little cray-cray, but I got to tell you, come on in. I'm going to work with you. We're going to do community together, and by the time we work things out in the community, I'm going to pick you to be the one that opens the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to do something mighty through you. I'm going to use promise. I'm going to use you with promise. But we're going to work some things out in community. So let me tell you something. You don't have to be perfect to come to this church. And if you are, please leave now because you're going to mess us up. We are jacked up. We are messed up. We are wrestling with things in our nature. But I got good news for you. Everybody around you, they're in your tribe. Whether they're cray-cray or not, we're trying to do one thing, and that is we're trying to serve Jesus and get to heaven together. And we can do life together with all of our idiosyncrasies and weirdness and brokenness. We can do life together. I often say we're kind of a Heinz 57 church. And I love it. There's no strong bloodlines like, well, my God, you got to be in this church for 47 years to make sure we got to have this certain name or certain color or certain creed. Fooey and all that mess. We are part of the church of the living God. And in this church, everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome in this church. And during the rise of the Third Reich in Germany, there was this pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. That's a name, isn't it? And he spent three years in an illegal underground seminary with 25 young men that he was training in the ministry. And they would meet together in a small group doing life together. It was during, obviously, you know, incredibly difficult times. And everything was, again, it was illegal because it was underground. It was very much against the law. But he met with these people. And he found out something. He said this, and he wrote a book. And he said, I found out something in these 3 years and working with these people that are all trying to be young pastors. He said, I found out that we were not together. It had nothing to do with the fact that we were all trying to be pastors. In fact, I quote, he says this, our community with one another consist solely in what Christ has done for both of us. In other words, what brings this church in such unity is not our likenesses. It's not the fact that you and I are exactly alike. I mean, dear goodness. Do I have to say any more? I mean, we've got Jesus and the apostle. He's got enough hair for both of us. And let me tell you something. Matt and I are completely different, other than we're probably both real artsy. But we're completely different. But I got to tell you, it's not what that we're the same that brings us, that we enjoy communion together. It's the fact of the thing, the same thing that Jesus did for him is the same thing he did for me. And that is the common denominator between us, that we can do life and have community together. Does that make sense? And so there's differences among us. We're all different on every side. I mean, we've got just different natures and different makeups in each one of us. We've got likes and dislikes. And I know sometimes we gather, man, I want to gather with all the people that just like all the same thing. That's not what the church is. The church is a bunch of people with a bunch of different mindsets. We got liberals and conservatives and Republicans and Democrats, and we've got, you know, every version, make and model. And guess what? We come together not on what separates us, what brings us together, and that each one of us, Jesus, changed our lives. That is the power of community and what Jesus has done for us. Psalms chapter 133, I told you I was going to unpack it a little bit. Psalms 133 tells us, if I can kind of give you a theme for this, in fact, it says this, that listen to this closely. Psalms 133, in these scriptures, it talks about that the community with one another is a gift from God. Now, you've got to get that before I go to the next part of this. He talks about that community, being together in community, is a gift from God. Now, I don't know if you realize it right now, and I don't want to say that in a condescending way, but that is huge. And it's a concept that we often don't think about in the church. We say, well, that's sweet, that community is a gift from God. No. It's a game changer that we have community, and that community that God has put us in is a gift to us from God. He gifted you with the community of the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to jump back to that guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that pastor that was in Germany. Listen to this. This is what he said about it. And I'm tagging this in because it matches so well with what Psalms 133 talks about. Listen, here's what he says. He said, "It is easily forgotten that the fellowship of Christian brethren is a gift of grace, a gift of the kingdom of God. Therefore, let him thank God on his knees and declare it is grace, nothing but grace, that we are allowed in a community, to live in a community with Christian brethren." I love that, but do I see it that way? Do I see my relationships between me and you and across the aisle, whatever way it is? Do I see my relationships with my brothers and sisters as a gift? As a gift. Do I see it that way? Often, I'm going to be honest with you, I have not always seen it that way. I'm kind of going, that's a little bit of a nuisance to me right there. I'm pointing over here, so I don't want anybody to think, oh, he was really pointing at me. That's a little bit, that one gives me, God remove the thorn, you know. God, and he goes, wait. That's a gift to you. The one he has around you doing life together in the body of Christ, that's a gift, and it's a gift from God to you. In other words, he knew what he was doing. He handpicked and put these gifts around you. See, we don't always look at it like that, but I've got to change my mindset to see that as a gift. And if I do so, I'm like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I kind of fall on my knees and I say, thank God, it is by grace alone that I'm not doing life in a stagnant way in this body of water, but I get to do life with you. Amen. And you get to do life with me, and we get to do life with one another. And do I see it like that? And if we begin to see each other as a gift, it changes everything, and exciting things begin to happen. In fact, I'll tell you what that begins to happen. Dot two begins to happen. Freedom. I start finding freedom in the fact of what the gift that God gave me. He puts inside the gifting that he gave me people that have the talents and the gifts to lead me out of the Egypt that's in me. He guides me. He directs me. Does that make sense to anybody? So David then promises two results. If you see community as a gift. He said, God's given this gift to you called community. And he said, listen, if you do that, there's two results. And I'm about to read it to you in Psalms 133. Here we go. And man, I can't wait to unpack this for you. Okay, here we go. It is like the precious oil upon the head. These are called the descent psalms. So for about 14 psalms, they're the descent psalms. Everything's falling. And in this text, there's three descents. Watch, everything's running down. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down upon the beard. They're running down upon the beard of Aaron, running down, descent on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls, descent, on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Oh, let me unpack this one. Let's talk about the first result of community and the gift of community, which he's talking about here. Let's look at it. He says, it's like the precious oil upon the head, running down upon the beard. Can you see it? They dump the oil right here. And they dump it on, and it's running down on the beard of Aaron. It comes down his head. Now you think Aaron? Well, that's a neat little guy. What does he do for a living? Aaron's the bomb diggity. That's a Greek word that means he was a big time dude. He was the highest. That was just a joke. Don't go home looking in your Greek for that. He was the high priest. This guy is the high priest in the Old Testament. And the oil runs down. He said, that community, that gift I'm giving you, this is what it's like. It's like this. It's like the oil that runs down over the head, upon the beard of Aaron, running down on his collar and on his robe. Do you get it? It's descent. And it continues to move down his body. His chest flows down. I can see it dripping on his toes. I can see it completely. He said, community is such a gift that it's like this. The word precious there, he's talking about that it's costly. It's precious. It has great value. It means so much that community is like the same oil that Aaron uses to sanctify himself as the high priest. This is big stuff. The same thing that Aaron would do to cleanse himself so he can be the high priest is the same thing that being a community, the gift of community, it's like that, he says. It's like the oil running down and dripping all over your life. That's what it's out. And throughout scriptures, we find oil is a sign of God's presence. It's a sign of the Spirit of God at work. And you know what it does? It heals. Oil heals. It soothes. It looses. When you get something squeaky going on, what do? You put a little oil in there. You go get your WD-40 and bring it in. It's got a little oil in it. Because it heals, healeth, the King James Version said, all things WD-40. You got the oil, and you put it in there, and it heals. That's why community is such precious to us, because it helps heal us in areas where we're entangled by the chains that Egypt brought on us. He says, I'll tell you, if you will connect in community, and see that as a gift, that everything I place in your life is like an oil to help you get deliverance from all your squeakiness, from all the areas that are bound up, that are in bondage. The oil begins to loosen it, and it drips over. Isn't that beautiful? It drips over you, man. I'm about to preach today. Well, I am fired up about this. It poured out on them, and the church, the oil pours out on you liberally. It's not a little dot. It's not a little dot of oil, and it's over. It pours out. It gets all over. It's liberal, and the gift of community is liberal. Can I say, by the grace and help of God, Parkway is definitely not a perfect church by no means, but I'm not saying that. But I'm going to tell you, in this body is a lot of unity. There's not a lot of fussing and fighting and complaining and bickering and judgmentalness, all that stuff. And what happened is this: inside this unity is why people can find freedom. I've had people literally say, when they step on the parking lot, they start feeling this, it's going to be all right. And they step in the house of God and they feel, why? In community, there is a gift. And in that gift, the oil of healing starts flowing over people. And just by being in the house of God with one another, we start feeling like, I'm going to make it. I can get through this, Faith. I'm going to make it. I've been struggling all week. I've been having a tough time all week. But I'm coming out of this thing. I'm going to make it, because we're not alone in this thing. Don't let the enemy isolate you, but stay together and faithful in the body of Christ, and make sure that you're connected in the body of Christ. Can I say something here just real quick? I know in this day and time that church has become sometimes people never really want to connect to the church. They're always shopping. I've talked to people sometimes, they say, for the last 20 years, they've been shopping for a church. I don't know if they're looking for the one that, I just don't know. I don't know, but I'm just telling you, they're always shopping. They're perennial, they're always visitors. You never can get them connected. You can't ever get them connected, because they're always moving. Don't hold me down. I'm going to tell you what, that's a trick of the enemy, because he's keeping you isolated. Can I just tell you, whether it's this church or another Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church, you've need to be committed to a body, a community of believers that you can get in and connect with, because you need freedom. You need to do life with one another. You need to connect with one another. And all of the weirdness of what all that brings out, the community and the differences in personalities, God puts all that together as a gift, because in that, your brothers and sisters help the oil flow over your life. And it profoundly changes your relationships when you begin to see it like this. Listen to this. On Aaron's chest, he's the high priest, and carried on his chest is 12 names of all the tribes. See, I'm bringing that tribes back around. We're all of a tribe. And there's Dan. There's Benjamin. There's all these different tribes. There's 12 names, and each name represents a whole tribe. And some of those, I'll be honest with you, some of those tribes were kind of wealthy tribes. Some of them were tribes that were really good at craftsmanship. Some of them were more of a spiritual and priestly mode. There's all different kinds. But these 12 tribes sometimes didn't jive so well, because that's where people, right? They didn't jive so well, and they wrestle with one another, and because of the differences in them. And then Psalms 133 says this: when the oil of community, when we start doing community together, instead of pulling us apart, and I'm Dan over here and I'm going to stay by myself. No, when they start pulling apart, what happened? He said, this oil comes down the head. And why does he keep describing this out? Because it comes down his head and drips off of its beard. Where does it go next? Boom. And it starts mingling between those tribes. And the oil is running over this tribe and that tribe. What? The oil of what? Community, doing life together, and it flows together, and all of a sudden the rich are with the poor, the talented are with the untalented, and we're all together, and we have the community through the power of the fellowship of one another. And that's how you find freedom. I know in our brain we always had, well, if I can get to the front of the church and have somebody pray for me, I'm going to find freedom. And I respect that, and there is something to that. But I think so many times we've sold that, and people get through getting prayed for, and on Monday they're still in bondage. Can I get a witness? They're still in bondage. They've still got issues in their character, got character flaws. Man, I thought everything was fixed with that one trip of salvation. No, that's been a misconception for a long time. Your salvation is fixed there. You're heading towards the kingdom of heaven, but you're still dealing with all these chains from Egypt. Got good news for you. The church of the living God, he called it to do its job, and that is that it would be that flow in your life to help release and bring things together and bring healing and restoration. Can you give the Lord a shout of praise? Amen. And we begin, when we start seeing things like that, we start seeing each other different. I start seeing things different than I used to see them. And now your idiosyncrasies and your differences for me, I'm like, wait a minute. You're my gift, man. You've got something. You play a part in bringing my life together. Hey, wait just a minute. You play a part in this deal. And so I'm not going to ostracize you from your differences. I need your differences. I need that you see things different than I do. I need that. I there's some people that run from people that see things different from them biblically and theology. Run from people. I don't do that. I make friends with ever make and creed, and it's whatever. I don't matter to me. Why? I may think I know something that they don't, but they know something that I don't. And we blend in together and we have community, and all of a sudden my eyes are open to a different facet of who Christ is. It's the power of community, and what brings us together is what he's done for us again. And then my differences become, your differences become a gift to me and begin to speak into my life, and I grow from those differences. And then that profoundly changes how I see relationships. It really does. Do you see that? It changes how I see relationships when I see them as a gift. The second thing the scripture says is that Christian community has the same qualities and effects as a heavy morning dew on the slopes of Mount Hermon. And you say, well, whew, I don't even know what all that means. Mount Hermon is the highest mountain in that part of the world. It stands as 9,000 feet at the summit. But notice this, dew is a symbol. Dew is symbolic in that it's a symbol of something refreshing. It's opposite of stagnation. It's refreshing. It's renewing. It's invigorating. And that dew, look at this, it doesn't just stay at the highest peak, but notice what the scripture says, and he's talking about doing community together. It flows down to the arid Mount Zion, which is at 2,500 feet. One writer said it this, when he drew a picture of this, he said, in talking about the church, both high-born and low-born in the body of Christ drink of the same sweet refreshment without distinction. Dude, that is so good. That is so good that you and I, no matter the make or model, no matter our economic status, no matter the background, no matter where you came from, no matter where, if we just got, you just got out of prison, or you're homeless, or no, whatever, we're all in this thing together. And he's molding, he's saying, listen, if you come together and we start doing life together and we see each one there as a gift, the same dew comes on you as it does for the other person. And there is community inside of that. When I view people this way, it is impossible to be bored with community. It is impossible to do that. This understanding counters isolation and stagnation. It pulls you away from that. And so what would the devil rather have you do? Would he rather have you isolated? Absolutely. Or to be in a group called the Church of the Living God, and you're connected with the community. Which one? And so next time you start feeling that tug to disconnect, to pull yourself out, pull yourself away, you make sure you run back to community, for it's in community that God's going to use that to help you find freedom. And if you want to know this is us, who we are, that's our dot too. It's that we are a tribe, that we find freedom from within the body of Christ as we begin to do community together. I've got people that I've been doing church with here and doing life together with for like 16 years here. That's how long I've been here. I've been doing life with Steve Tatum for 16 years. 16 years. I've learned some things from Steve Tatum. There's a lady in this church. I can mention this at the second service because she's not here. She's at the first service because she would absolutely faint. But there's a little lady named Sister Sanguine. And most of you may not know her. She's a widow lady, and she's here. Oh my God, have I learned so much about Jesus through Sister Sanguine? I've learned about the widow's mite from Sister Sanguine. I learned something from her this morning. From her, she don't even know it. But I'm standing at the door, and she walks in, and she's got some physical issues and lung issues right now, and I watched her as this peace is on her face, and she says, "Pastor, I've got 3 more doctors to go, but no matter what, everything's going to be all right. No matter what, I'm fine. God's good." And this smile goes over this peace. There's no fear, and I learned something. I learned something from her. I learned something that it's not every time I have a guest minister, she walks up and puts in my hand a $20 bill, and when I get through shaking her hand, there's still a $20 bill laying there, and almost every time I'm tore up because I know in my hand is the widow's mite. She doesn't have the money to do that. She doesn't, and I feel guilty. In fact, I don't even put that in the offering. In fact, I give it to whoever's speaking that day, and I'm saying, listen to this. This is not normal $20. This is the widow's mite. She didn't have to give, but she gave everything she had. You make sure you treat this well. And I learned something from her. You say, well, man, she's may not be on the economic status I am, but I'm going to tell you, when we start doing life together, we learn from one another. We grow from one another. You say, man, I don't know about doing that. Because every time I've ever dealt with that, we start fussing and fighting. We fuss and fight when I get in connection with other people. Well, of course, there's a little brothers and sister deal going on. There's a little sibling rivalry, and everything's not perfect, and sometimes there's issues within it. But even in the fussing and fighting, even in the wrong attitudes and all of that, if you turn and if you take it and you put it in the feet of Christ, you learn from even that issue. And inside the fight, God's working something out of you, because what he put around you is the gift to help work things out of you. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So I'm gonna wrap this up here, and I'm asking them to come and get ready to sing. But it's Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12. Watch this. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12. Brandon, I want you to come up here just a minute, and we're gonna act this out. And we're gonna do that. I'm gonna give you this scripture in segments as we begin to close. All right. See this big old dude? Look at this scripture. A person standing alone, he's alone today, okay? He's by himself, can be attacked and defeated. Although Brandon is massive, and I mean, God, look at those arms. Man, what a hunk. Man. But he's all that. If he stays that way, I can come over here, bop him on the head. I can wear him out as long as he don't turn around. Turns around, he gone. right? But he can't protect all of himself. And that's what the scripture, a person standing alone can be attacked, can be defeated. And a lot of people are standing there saying, well, I'm all that God. I don't need anybody else. I've got spiritual muscles. I've been serving God a long time. I got this. We don't need anybody else. But you better be careful. Because though you think you're all that, and though you've been pumping those weights for a long time, and you think you're so strong, you've got a weak side. Christ knows that, and he's put you in community. And so look at the rest of the scripture, this next part of it. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two. Uh-oh, we got to bring somebody else. Billy Bohannon, come here. You're another big old dude. Look at this. Let's fix this up. So I got Brandon here. Yep, come step out here. Now I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna put him to his back. And your job is to protect Brandon's weak side. And so all of a sudden, from now, he is pretty strong that way. I'm not going to attack that way. But I'm going to go around, and I'm going to get him from his weak side. And I come back here. It's his brother. And his brother says, not in this house. We're doing community together. And I come back around this side, and I say, well, I'm going to attack. And there's goodness, there's peace on him. You know why? He's doing life with his brother. And his brothers know what his weaknesses are. Some of you, nobody else in the room knows what your weaknesses are because you're trying to do life by yourself. But when you're sharing your brokenness and your struggle, you think that's a defeat. That's setting you free and giving you peace, that when the enemy comes against you, he can't come through the same avenue he used to come, because where you are weak, God's put a defender in the church to help protect you from your weak side. Isn't that awesome? But it's not over there. Listen to this. Let's look at the rest of it. But two can stand back to back and conquer. But wait a minute. Three are even better. Look at this. Jimmy, come here just a minute. Look at here. Look. I bring this up here, and y'all get like in a little triangle there. Yeah, look at this now. Now we get a small group. We got a small group here now. And where he is weak, he is strong. And where he is weak, he is strong. And look what had happened. Look right here. Look here. And three are even better. For why? For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. This right here, you see, some of you, the devil's got you tied in knots, and he's saying, listen, I want to do just the opposite. I want you to connect yourself with one another, and you become a strength. Instead of being tied in a knot yourself, you're connected with a three-braided cord that becomes so strong that the devil can't keep you tied up, but you become a strength that destroys everything the enemy brings against you. How many of you claim that in Jesus' name? But you got to do life in community. So today is Life Group Sunday, and it's where we sign up for our life groups, and we've got every make and model. We got it for the elders, the middle aged, the young ones, the little bitty puppies. We got it for everybody. All right? No, the young ones, okay? We got it for all groups. We got different makes and models. Some like doing this, some like doing that. We got all that. We wish we had more of them, but until we have more leaders step up, this is what we've got, and what we have, we present to you today. But I'm here to tell you, life groups are a huge place you find freedom. But if you walk out of here today or next weekend and you don't sign up for a life group, I am begging you to do one thing. Connect with somebody in the church that you can do life with. Connect with two or three people around you. You say, well, I'm just not a life group dude. Dude, I'm not going to let you get away with that anymore. If you're not going to sign up for life groups, that's fine. But connect with somebody, because in isolation, there is danger. You can get twisted up in your mind, twisted up in your spirit, but make sure you connect in community, because it becomes your gift. Give it up for these guys. They did a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job. Do life with somebody. Do life with somebody. Who are you connecting with? Are you connecting with your gift? What if God gave you an incredible gift and you're not opening the gift? He gave you all these gifts. The differences around you to help bring and make stuff out of you. Even if it's, like I said, if it's an argument that you go through with somebody or a difference in friendship, He's building, if you carry it to God, He's building something in you, character and integrity, working things out of you. It's a gift from God. But I noticed one of the hindering factors that the enemy uses to isolate us is something we sang about earlier, and that is fear. Is that right? Well, I'm a little fearful to connect. I'm a little fearful to, I've been hurt before. Guess what? Join the crowd. Well, I was going to this church and they hurt me and said bad things about me. I understand. And this church is not going to be perfect either because we got people in it. But I will tell you this. Fear is not of God. Fear is not of God. And so we got to kick the fear out because fear is what's isolating us and becoming stagnated. We're becoming stagnated and full of bacteria. We've got to get fear out. It has got to go. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm about to ask you to stand here in just a second. And when I ask you to stand, this is going to push you out of your comfort zone a little bit. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I want you to find a little circle right there in your area.